Say, you know, I like that car. Here's $50, Brother DeWitt. Climb in the driveway. No! He'll call the cops. And I'll say, but I gave him $50. I didn't settle it. I didn't handle it. There's only one way to get that car from him, and the two of us have to sit down and we have to agree upon a price and a work. And we agree upon it. And I say, all right, here has been what you said. Anyway, that transaction goes on. Now, if I was just walking by Brother Cliff, not paying attention, he spilled a little bit of his coffee out in here. Then, oh, excuse me, Brother Cliff, I was walking by. You know, that'd be acceptable that way. You think of anything I need to grovel in front of it? No, I don't need to do that. That's kind of acceptable, all right? Now, what would it ever take? I've been the one. Went over that little girl's house, just a bad move. Imagine what you would have to do if you ever really wanted them to forgive you. What would it ever really take? I think what they would need to see, first of all, is that I was absolutely broken over this thing, not just because of the guilt of the moment, but because I understood it wasn't just bad driving, it was that foolish anger of mine. That thing that all my life has gripped me and destroyed me. And now it's killed someone else. And then I would need to come to them in such a way that I know I don't deserve their forgiveness. I don't deserve this. And I don't know if I'd crawl on my belly. I'm not sure how I'd do it. But maybe clutching to Zach's feet. And telling him, if you just killed me and stomped on my head, I'll accept it. But I just want you to know I'm the most worthless person that ever lived. And that I don't deserve life. You have taken something from you more precious than you've ever known. And my anger that's ruined everything. My parents couldn't control it. My teachers couldn't control it. It's now destroyed your daughter, and I want you to know I hate myself for this. And then maybe they could reach down and forgive me. Maybe I've reached a transaction point where that could work. Probably some of you keep trying to come up with the blood of Jesus Christ and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ with some little lollipop confession. And not understand what it took for the Son of God to become what you are. Yes. No understanding of what it took for the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You keep coming up with your transactions. Well, I'll throw this into the pot this time. See if that works. No, it's not going to work. God wants you to understand why He had to die for you. He wants you to understand why He had to go to the cross. He wants you to understand why He had to bear the shame of your life. He wants you to understand why He had to be stripped naked and have a crown of thorns pressed down upon His head. He wants you to understand why He had to have His guts ripped out with a cat of nine tails. He wants you to understand why He had to walk with a cross, be nailed and lifted up. He wants you to understand why He had to be jeered at by everyone that He knew. He had to do that because He had to sup the cup of your destruction, of the shame of your life.
Yep.
But He had to do it.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Right.
And you're trying to come up to Him and negotiate, well, maybe I was bad, maybe I did this. You know, oh, yeah, I guess I need to be saved. No, what God's looking for is for you and Him to reach a deal that He's paid for entirely. Absolutely entirely.
Yes.
Yep.
But He has never, ever, ever, ever compromised in the least little bit. If you were at the brink of a lake of fire right now, and the angels had their hands on you, and it says they cast people into the lake of fire, there's nobody who runs along and jumps. There's nobody who takes a little push. It takes a couple of big angels cord.
Mm-hmm.
Walk up there and cast it in.
Yeah.
Listen, they cast it in.
Yes, sir.
Cast it in. If you were standing there right there, and as much as God loves you, my Bible says God loves you. He has known you. Let me tell you something. See that little boy there? That little Isaiah? Now, he's just a child. There's a personality in him. There's no other personality like his. Anyone on this earth? He's the only one. And there will never be another one like him. And you understand that God loves that personality absolutely perfectly. But he doesn't love his nature. His nature is a sinner. No one will ever teach that little boy how to lie. I teach him tell the truth. No one will ever teach him how to steal. I have to teach him to respect property. No one will ever teach him how to sass his mother. I have to teach him to respect her. Here's that contradiction. That little boy, that personality that God loves perfectly, inside of a nature wrought of Adam. He'll grow up. Maybe his daddy will instill character in him. Maybe his daddy won't. But God wouldn't tell a little white lie to keep him out of hell. It came to the point that he grew as a man, and the angels on either side of him, and God could tell just a little white lie to keep him out of hell. God wouldn't do it.
Right?
God saves with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Saves with the truth. You know what we spend most of our lives doing? Running from the truth.
Yeah.
Running from it. The truth of what we are, the truth of what we've done. Everybody trying to hide what they are, hide what they've done, pretend. And there's God determined to bring the truth out. And make it known. You want to know something? You know, I've had a lot of kids. I've raised 8 kids. One of the things we've noticed is some of them are better liars than others. They're all liars, and some are better at it. But you'll have a kid that you're pretty sure he's the one that did something. Did you do that? No, I didn't do it. Now you've kind of gone through everything, and you're pretty sure now, about 99% sure. Did you do that? No. They're holding on to that 1% chance that you can't quite nail it. Finally, you've got all the proof there is. There is no doubt anymore. This particular child's one of, oh, I am the one. Oh, I did it. You know what I've learned? Don't ever trust that. Don't ever trust that. The only reason they're confessing and saying it is because now there's no doubt anymore. See, that's what some of you want to do at the judgment seat. You want to come to the great white throne judgment, finally confess it all, but there's no doubt anymore. You can't hide it anymore. It's all going to be seen. The whole world's going to see you. And then, oh, I'm so sorry, God. You know what I've learned? There's nothing to that. There's nothing to that. It's that one that comes forward, and I begin to get that suspicion. One of my kids has done wrong. And that one that comes to that other one. Forget it. God wants to forgive you. But not on your terms. On his terms. What did it cost him to forgive you? What is your sin against him? What is your sin against him? No, David said this. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou art judged. Okay? No, overcome when thou art judged. Okay? Say, well, who judges God? Everybody I've ever known. I talk to people all the time, well, God shouldn't do this. Well, my God, why didn't God do this? People judge God all the time.
That's right.
Yeah, sure
do. You want to know something? King David sent a man to his death. Took a woman living in virtue, made a whore out of her. Not a baby born into it. The baby ended up dying. Say, who'd he sin against? Must have been Uriah that he sinned against. Uriah, Uriah's listed as one of the mighty men of David.
Yep.
You realize Joab isn't listed? Mm-hmm. But Uriah is. You realize Uriah, when he came in out of the fields, David said, go sleep with your wife. Here's a mess of meat. Go with it. He said, the ark of God abideth in the fields. You mean a Hittite? A Hittite's been converted in the wilderness. A Hittite's come out with David and been converted and has respect unto the ark of God. Yes, a Hittite. The ark of God abideth in the fields. And the armor of Israel abideth in the fields. Shall I go sleep with my wife? In other words, this is a man converted. This is a man loyal to David. David, did you sin against him? And David said, no, against thee and thee only, God, did I sin.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of you all stuck up and mad because of who's hurt you in life. Let me tell you, there's nobody on this earth that ever sinned against you.
That's right, yes, sir.
Well, they sinned against God.
Amen.
There's somebody's little child cried because someone sinned against God. God will handle it.
Yep.
Yes.
God will handle it. Nobody ever sinned against you.
Right.
Prodigal son came to the father. He said, Father, I sinned against heaven, but in your sight. The only one you've ever sinned against has been God. Your lies to your mother have been a sin against God. Your lies to your father have been a sin against God. The
right.
Dirty little things, the dirty little secrets you have in your life, they're a sin against God. They're an affront to Him. He's gone to the cross for you. He promised you. He takes the death for every man.
Amen.
Everything. That great day, the Jews call it Yom Kippur. Called the Day of Atonement in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrating October. It was the day in which the priest would come, and all year long that priest has been bearing the iniquity of the holy things because he has a mitre on his forehead that says holiness to the Lord. And all year long he's been offering those sacrifices, and finally the day comes. He is going to go and he's going to shed blood and he's going to take that blood into the most holy place. And he's going to take it in there. He takes two goats and he flips a coin, casts lots. One of them is the Lord's lot.
Yeah.
So that's the winner, no? The Lord's lot was to die. The Lord's lot was to die, so that goat has to die. Imagine getting the Lord's lot and then you have to die. That's the Lord's lot, you have to die. And it says this in the book of Leviticus, and I've puzzled over this for years. I never understood this. It said he was to take the other goat, which was to be for the congregation, but a sin offering. Now, I know the sin offering. It's Leviticus 4. The sin offering has four parts. The sin offering for the priest is a bullock. A sin offering for the congregation is a bullock. The sin offering for the ruler is a goat, and for the common man is a goat. Then why, in Leviticus 16, when they do a sin offering for the congregation, is it a goat? Didn't make sense. Then one day it occurred to me. If I was standing in that crowd, I'm standing there and there's thousands of people. My conscience is heavy with sin. And that priest goes ahead and he's got a goat. And it's a sin offering. He slits that throat. He begins to drain that blood out of that. That's for me. I might be standing there with thousands of people. That's for me.
Yes, sir.
That's for me. That's for me. We're looking at it one-on-one. That goes for me. That goes for the lies I've told. That goes for the sin I've done. That goes for the horrible thoughts that I have. That goes for my rebellion. That goes me.
Right.
That's what Paul said in Hebrews 2. He said, Jesus Christ, who tasted death for every man, one-on-one,
right,
looked at you, took the cup, and drank it for you. For you. That's for me. I explained that to an Orthodox Jew one time. He came back to me the next day and he said, for thousands of years, my people have taught that a different way, but I believe you're right.
Amen.
I believe you're right.
Very well.
I know I'm right. I got Hebrews 2:9. He didn't have it. Say, Hebrews 2, Jesus Christ who tasted death for every man. Now listen to me. Reader's Digest carried an article 25 years ago or so about people who faced sure death but didn't die. One was a stewardess. A plane door opened up and she just got sucked out. She got sucked out of the plane. What are your odds of living?
Not good.
She fell 10,000 feet. She hit a pond bed that had just dried up. It was like a sponge. And she went so far down, it was just like the cartoons. You could see the floor of where she'd gone down and broke every single bone in her body and didn't die.
Mm.
They got her out of there and she lived. Another was a man who was walking above some machinery in a factory on one of these walking places, and it broke and he fell down into the gears of the machine. And just got ground up and just down in there and blood flying and everything else, and somehow in this pulp came out of the other end, no artery had been cut. No organ. And he's just laying there like hamburger meat. They put him together. He lived through that.
Mm.
But you know what? And all the people they talked to, you know what every one of them said? They said their entire life flashed before their eyes. But here's what was amazing about it. It's not like your entire life, like you might tell it real quick. It's like when you walked into your third grade classroom, and Mrs. So-and-so on March 3rd had flowers on her desk, and little Janie had a new box of crayons. And this is what I said to Freddie that day, and this is what the gym teacher said. Their entire life flashed before their eyes. Every single piece of their life, with no exception, and it happened in about a second. Where every single bit of their life flashed before their eyes. I'm going to tell you something. I believe, as much as I believe I'm standing here, I believe that Jesus Christ on the cross looked at every single person that has ever lived, ever will live. And he took the cup. And in that moment that he yielded his spirit back to the Father, became sin for us that knew no sin. I believe at that moment he took your life and lived it. That split second. I believe he arched his back and screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the shame of your secret life is on you. It's not like he just felt, I mean, he felt it from within.
Mm.
The shame, there's not a person here who doesn't have secrets in your life. You would writhe and die. At that moment, he was. Became sin for us. You know sin. We might be made the righteousness of God in heaven. See, for years, I tried so hard to walk holy like this God. He never could. He commanded me to be holy, for I'm holy. I cut my hair right, carried a King James Bible, put a suit on, did all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, there was corruptions, there's stuff going on inside of me that are just gross and awful, putrid. If you could put a monitor in my heart right now and put a screen up there and my heart was displayed, I'd be so ashamed. I'd never want to see your faces again. Never. I couldn't be holy. The Bible says, he who now letteth will let. Be taken out of the way. Only one verse. verse, and the Word of God explains that. 1 Timothy 2:19 says, for he hath sealed us.
Yeah.
Sealed us. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Here's the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Yeah.
What's the seal? The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What did he let me depart from iniquity? I've been crawling for years trying to depart from iniquity. I've been crawling for years to altar calls, trying to get rid of this iniquity, and finally gave with a seal that let me depart. It let me depart. I was able to depart. It let me depart. And he who now let will let until he be taken out of the way. That's the rapture, and you'll be damned at that point because he won't let you depart anymore.
Right.
He's here this morning to let you depart. You let me depart. You now let it, will let. Until he be taken out of the land. The Lord knoweth them there is. Let everyone in the name of Christ depart. You let him depart. That's the seal. He gives you that seal. He doesn't force you to depart from iniquity. I'm ashamed of some of the iniquities I kept for years, Lord. But he let me.
Yeah.
He let me. Tried so hard on my own to get away from that stuff. And then I thought, well, I'll walk like the lowly Nazarene. Humble like Jesus. And it just became a false humility.
Yeah.
It became this foolish thing that anybody that really loved me could see was just false and phony. And even my own self, I began to be convicted over it. And then that verse Brother DeWitt was talking about, that verse that brings you low, that verse that shows you what you are, kind of defines you in God's mind. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. I mean, Lord, I wasn't seeking you. No, you weren't seeking me, John. You're just a sinner. You're just seeking to justify yourself, make yourself look good. You weren't seeking me. I cried out to the Lord, said, then what was I doing all those years? You know what he showed me? This humility. Here's what he showed me. He showed me myself as a little boy getting ready to make First Communion. You remember those First Communions, standing there in the maybe white shorts and stuff like that, getting all ready, pious little. Were you a pious little? No, you weren't. You were a creep. All right? You were a little liar. You know what I was? I was a creep. I was a little liar. I was a crap. You know, I stood there in that line,
yeah,
at the pictures, and all up there. And everybody hugged you and said, isn't this a big thing? You know what it was? I was really just a lying little sneaky brat. I was just a little brat. And then I got a little bit older, see? They made me an older boy.
Yeah.
You'd steal an older boy. And made me an older boy. And I'd go up there, and my relatives would say, isn't that? I remember Gary Herman died. They're all 12, 13 years old. He got killed in a car wreck. Everybody would chai us, was so crying and upset over it. I remember when Gary Herman died, and I remember they had a mass, and everybody in the school came, and I was the older one, I was so proud. And I went to the school, big high school boys came up, patted me on the back, said, good job, buddy, that was good. And I was so proud. But see, I was really just a lying, conniving skunk, is what I was. It's all I was in those days. But I would hide in church and pretend that I was something different. See, even in my own mind, pretending I was something different. And then I remember just getting into some awful sin and such. And from time to time, I'd try to run back to the Catholic priest and confess my sins. And you know, I'd actually come out of there feeling pretty good. I'd feel pretty good coming out of there. It wouldn't last long, but I'd feel pretty good. Hey, I'd feel pretty good. And then it got to the point that even that didn't help anymore. And I started going to churches because I thought, you know, I'll go to churches, maybe it'll help. And I tried to slip in the back door of Christianity with their little prayers and that kind of thing. And I started learning the King James Bible, and I started preaching it and wearing the right suits and such and trying to pretend that I was. I got involved in a soul winning ministry where we'd go out. I had 500 people pray the prayer with me the year before I got saved. I mean, just give them to pray the prayer one way or another, hot dog, hamburger, trick them into it, whatever you got to do, mark it down on a piece of paper, hand it into headquarters, they patch on the back, oh, we're so proud of you. That particular day, the Lord showed me what was wrong with me. He showed me what I was really doing. All he did, he showed me that I had never changed from that little brat.
Right.
I just got a little slicker through the years. But really, I was the same thing I had always been. I had never changed. Just kind of changed that outward sign, but inward, that's all I was. And let me tell you something. It was so ugly that at that moment, I was a worm and I was no man. In my eyes, I was just a worm. I was no man. I was so despicable that I remember thinking to myself, anybody who sees me right now would just hate me. And I looked across, and there was another one that was a worm. See, I tried to come to him my way, and it wouldn't work. He came to me his way. And the day I became a worm and no man, we looked at each other eye to eye, he died. I died with him. And he rose. And I rose with
him. Amen.
I bet it would have never said. He's come to you. He's come to you. He's come to you. God says in the Spirit, what is the Spirit? It's God's Spirit. You know, I study the spirits of God very intensely. How do you explain the Spirit of God? It's the one Spirit the entire Godhead shares. The Spirit of God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit they share. It's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit. And the bride, what is the bride? It's a city there called the New Jerusalem that the church will inhabit. And it's calling to you. You know what it's calling? Say, come. 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 There's a place there for you. There's a place for you. There's a spot in the Spirit of God for you.
Right.
There's a spot in that city for you. And then it says this, let him that heareth. You know what I've learned? It's hard to get people to hear.
Yes, sir.
Hard to get people to hear. I've had all sorts of people. Some of you have talked to your kids and walked away. It was like fiddling with a computer all day. Turn it off, turn it on in the morning, it's back to default. Not a single thing you worked on all day is going to fail. It's not back to default. And some of you know the frustration of working with your kids. You know what it's like to work with your friends. It's all back to default. You know what it's like you accept in your own life. You tried to change, it all went back to default. You know why? Because you can't hear. I think some of you have heard. Did you hear today? Did you hear? When the book of Revelation says, let him that heareth, you know what it says? Say, come. Spirit of the bride, say, come. Let him that heareth, say, come. We're just looking for you to say, come. 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 Did you hear? 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 Did you hear?
Mm-hmm.
Brother Lou, you've been preaching quite a while. You believe the Spirit of the bride wanted him to come? It's what it says, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's what it says. Brother Cliff Taylor, your fiddles.
Not much else to say after that, except come, amen. He's dealing with you, give it up. Get to him as fast as you can. He's the one that can right the ship. He's the one that can correct the wrong. He's the one that can wash away everything that's on the slate that's against you. He's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll do just that. He'll come. Let's pray.
Preacher. Brother Cliff, just go ahead.
Yes, sir. Quote that bit of that recipe of Harrison from last night.
Says this.
rescue the perishing, but it says deep in the human heart.
Slow.
Deep in the human heart. Touched by the tempter. Anybody here has been touched by the tempter and real damage done inside of you? Touched by the tempter. Feelings lie buried. I've had some of you talk to me about them. They're just gone. They're just hurt. You don't think it'll ever work? Well, Cliff Taylor's been leaving his guitar up there in the front. I've had, you know, kind of scold my grandchildren. Leave that alone. Why? You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of him coming to find that guitar over the strings broke. You know what happened if those strings broke? He wouldn't be able to play.
That's right.
Okay? Feelings like they're deep down in there. But it says grace can restore. And then it likens it to those broken strings.
Give us that peace nonstop. Just quote that.
Deep in the human heart, touched by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore.
Stop. It's the grace. That's all. It's just the grace that can lift you when you're down low.
Yeah.
When you realize your sin, feel the effect of your sin, and you look, nothing else can help. It's His grace.
All grace.
Is this?
Grace will teach you.
Amazing grace.
It's tiny. Grace will teach you. He'll actually teach you what holy the Word of God says. And I think you fear that. I think you resent every person who's ever tried to make you look holy. You resented it and looked at the hypocrisy in your life, the foolishness in their life. There's that grace that wants to come to you and forgive you all and teach you to live holy. I wouldn't hold out against it anymore.
Amen.
I'd absolutely say, grace, teach me to live holy. Grace, teach me. Grace, teach me to yield myself to that man no matter what. Grace, teach me that. Grace, teach me.
Amen.
Teach you forgiveness.
Now there's others that raised your hand. There's others that raised your hand and said, you know God is trying to bend you low. No. Read this mass. Would you come to our sister here, or can we have prayer together and ask God, just do it this week. You know, whatever you want, Lord. Just come over here to the table and we'll get some pastor's praise together just to pray. But maybe there's more than one in on this. There's a whole lot more that went in on this. Maybe there's a whole bunch of youths that want in on this because you know God's trying to bend you low. And now you feel like you're down there. Now there's the grace.
Father, we come to you in the name that's above every name. Our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, filling with His blood. Lord, gathered around this table and gathered under this roof, there's many scars, God. There's many feelings. There's things that, God, as it's been quoted, there's feelings that lie buried, Lord. Grace not only can restore, but wants to restore. Oh, my God, this afternoon, would you touch them? God, we plead for the grace of God to be bestowed upon each one. God, reach down in that heart that's been touched by the tempter, tempted and torn and ripped apart. God, for whatever they've seen, whatever's gone on, whatever's happened in their life, God, may they look beyond the scars. May they look beyond those, God, those hurts. God, may they look to the Savior. May they see the blood of Jesus Christ flowing down an old rugged cross. God, coming from the top of his head where the crown of thorns was. Coming from his face where the beard was plucked out. God, coming from the back that was beaten mercilessly. Coming from the bowels that gushed out. God, all the way down to the feet that were nailed. God, may they see the blood of Jesus Christ. Still fresh today, God, still able, still powerful enough. God still has all the power it did then to wash away sin. God, to cover iniquity. Oh my God, this afternoon, would you do a great and a mighty work in hearts? And Lord God, even the remainder of the week, God, would you touch hearts? God, help folks not to be looking, God, at the outside, but to be looking at the heart. And Lord, may the hearts be touched. And God, touched by grace in such a way that victory would be given. And folks could go on in victory, leaving behind those things that are behind. And reaching forth to that thing that's before, that mark. God, that prize and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God, may some young people go away from here this week, God, with fervor, God, and desire, God, to live a life that pleases you. God, may they go away this week with a touch of God on their life. And God, we're asking you, Lord, and from this meeting we've seen young men like Zach Vernon get touched and now preaching. God, maybe somebody else this week, God, would go away touched and go away serving, God.
Yes.
Help, Lord, I pray.
Yes.
God, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for what you do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, folks. Here's the thing. Brother Vay, would you stand and pray for the food? Now, let me tell you something. I've learned this. I don't have a lot of confidence. Ones I have served God, walking holy, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. I've got one or two. We've got saved in all calls. Most of them got saved afterwards, later, God healing. I'm not saying it's the way it can be done. God's God. We'll do it the way God wants to do it. God wants to save them. We're going to pray for that food. Go get some food. Young men, get one sandwich, eat it, let everybody get a sandwich, and there's more, eat more at it. Okay? Keep your hearts content. Make sure everybody gets a sandwich. We've got the river falls and such. We'd love to have everybody walk along there. Now listen, the family just 2 weeks ago died because they did not obey the rules.
That's right.
Two little kids, but